Thank you, Kimmy. That was wonderful. I invite you now to join with me in our gospel reading. And if you turn to page 27 in the Blue Pew Bible, you will find Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 36 through 44. The gospel writer records Jesus as saying, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. As we have come to your word this day, O God, make peace in our hearts so that we may truly hear you and follow you. For it is in serving you that we discover who we are called to be and also find life abundant. For we pray these and all things in Christ's name, and let all God's people say, Amen. So as should be abundantly clear by now, we have indeed begun the Advent season. It's time, as Kimmy was describing, it's time for us to celebrate a period of weeks between now and Christmas that is marked by a spirit of waiting and a spirit of anticipation and a spirit of expectation and a spirit of preparation for the coming of something, more precisely someone, that we have been waiting a really long time for. For some quick background and reminders, the word Advent that we use is a simple translation of a Latin word, Adventus, which means coming or arrival, literally. And it speaks to, in the context of a faith life, it speaks to the coming or the arrival of something important, as I said, something that we've been waiting for a really long time. While Thanksgiving and Black Friday may herald the beginning of the Christmas shopping season, the first Sunday of Advent marks the beginning and its own arrival of the church's Christmas season and this period of preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus, for the celebration of what Scripture tells us is Emmanuel, God with us. Going further, the Latin word Adventus is a translation of a Greek word, parousia, which is a fancy word that is often associated in more popular culture with the second coming. Language that you would have heard in Matthew's gospel just a few moments ago. This is why, because of this association with this Greek word parousia, this is why the first Sunday of Advent every year, as we follow the lectionary, always includes some sort of cryptic and mysterious message that Jesus is trying to give to his disciples in what is essentially Holy Week. And no matter which year and which gospel, it's sometimes scary, it's certainly confusing, but it is a way of providing context for what we as Presbyterian-flavored Christians think and celebrate as Advent. It is certainly a period, this Advent season, that signals the end of something old and the birth of something new. You see, Advent serves as both a reminder for the waiting and arrival of our Lord and Savior, who we proclaim to be the Messiah, something that has happened in history over 2,000 years ago, while also being a period of time where we are waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, something that we believe will happen. But the fine point of the matter when it comes to the second coming is this: to overemphasize the next coming at the expense of the one coming that we know for certain can lead a believer to completely miss the point. Echoing last week's sermon theme of God always being with us, a Catholic priest named Richard John Neuhaus once wrote these words: Christ came, Christ comes, Christ will come again. There is no time, past, present, or future, in which Jesus the Christ is not God with us. He was with you yesterday, he is with you today, and he will be with you tomorrow. Indeed, Jesus the Christ, who we believe is God in the flesh, who we believe is God with us, is with us each and every moment of our lives. But what seems most interesting in today's reading from Matthew's gospel is that such knowledge of who Jesus is takes a back seat to being active, to putting faith into action. The language used in this passage, especially the verbs, along with the use of multiple metaphors, is almost beautifully poetic, if you will. And the metaphors involve familiar stories to both us and the ancient Hebrew people, stories from their narratives, specifically related to Noah and the flood. And they all reinforce the message, Jesus's message, that there is a need for being active, for doing something, over the need for knowing. And that message is for every single person, everywhere, at all times. In the context of God's covenant with Noah, Jesus describes the people back then as eating and drinking and getting married, giving themselves in marriage, symmetrical images about ordinary tasks of being alive and living in community with one another. Then there are those dual stories that seem kind of ominous, but stories about men, one about men, one about women. Not so much about one staying and one going, but stories that are about common, ordinary people. They provide further clarity that Jesus' message is truly intended for everyone, not just the elite, not just the special, everyone. You, me, men, women, children, people of all ages, people who eat and drink and marry and breathe and live on this earth. And then there are the additional metaphors of being in the field and grinding the meal together. More stories that emphasize the regular, ordinary lives that God works in and through and among. People like us, lives like ours. Finally, the metaphor of the thief in the night. Probably the most well-known part of that passage. It's used effectively to bring Jesus' words full circle back to his original point, that knowing the time is not important, but what is important is what we are doing until that time comes. The significance of the thief metaphor is not the thief himself, or the hour at which the thief will arrive to steal, but rather that had the owner of the house known a thief was coming, then the owner would certainly have taken steps to prevent the thief from being successful. And so Jesus's point is that, like the owner, we must be ready at all times. Not just some of the time, but all times, because we simply do not know the day or the hour. On this first Sunday of Advent, Jesus is essentially inviting us, asking us to be what I like to call kingdom people. Jesus wants us to be kingdom people. People who are common, ordinary Christ followers just like you and me who are ready, who are filled with expectation and anticipation, who are prepared to do what God would have us do for God's kingdom here and now. Kingdom people are faith-filled people, not because we've got everything figured out, far from it, but because we know that God's got it figured out. In fact, today's scripture shows us that uncertainty seems to be a condition of faith. That even Jesus himself claims to not know everything, but only God does. Indeed, Jesus's intent in this passage is to prompt his followers to action, as I've been saying. That our purpose is not to speculate or calculate when the Lord will come again, but instead we are to be busy. We are to be in action at all times, because he already did come to us in the manger. He has already modeled for us what it looks like to live in the kingdom. And so we are called as kingdom people to do those things that Jesus models for us to do. This means doing Christ-like deeds of mercy. This means forgiving one another. This means sharing God's peace and love in this world, to actually be kingdom people in a world that doesn't seem to understand what the kingdom is. Because we are called to a life of work and a life of faith as we wait with watchfulness and anticipation. Another Bible commentator named Mark Yours aptly points out that we are not expected to know everything, but we are expected to do something here and now in the ordinary places of human endeavor where life is lived. Whatever else Christians may be, we are a workforce in the world. And that's a perfectly good description of who we are called to be. To be a workforce, to be active in the world. And in perfect summary of Jesus' main point, another commentator named David Bartlett writes this: one day Jesus may appear in the clouds, suddenly like a thief in the night, but before that, as Matthew's gospel reminds us, Jesus will appear just around the corner, suddenly, like a hungry person, or a neighbor ill-clothed, or someone sick, or someone imprisoned. Indeed, as kingdom people, Jesus charges and reminds each of us that we are to be ready. Those are the most important words in that entire gospel passage. In closing, I want to share one more thought with you about knowing versus doing, and about having certainty versus having faith. Over the years, I've been captivated by stories related to how family members of organ donors are sometimes united with the recipients of the transplant or of the organ donation. They touch me, honestly, in kind of a deep place, the stories like this. And there's one particular story that has always fascinated me and stuck with me. And it's about people I don't know, but essentially a mother lost her son. The son was an organ donor. He was young. And his heart was able to be given through that tragedy to an older man who was essentially just hanging on by a thread. And the heart saved the man's life. And the story goes on to explain how some months later, probably through a matter of grief, the mother reached out to the man who had received her son's heart and asked if they could see each other, so that she could meet him. And so he agrees, and she goes to his home. And I don't know where that was. But the man was expecting her, of course. And he opened the front door, and he greeted her with open arms, so that she could hug him and put her ear to his chest. And what she heard was her son's heart beating so strong. I have heard for years from different people throughout my ministry, that people just know for certain that the church is dying, that the end is coming, that the sky is falling. There seem to be so many strange indicators that that might be so. But we are kingdom people. We do not subscribe to speculation or calculation on things that only God knows. Once again, Catholic priest Richard John Neuhaus provides the words for us. And he writes that God is quite literally inconceivable. And that is why God was conceived as a human being in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Because we cannot, even in thought, rise up to God. So God stooped down to us in Jesus, who is Emmanuel, which means God with us. The season of Advent is here. It's time to celebrate the coming of God into the world. It's time to celebrate that God is indeed with us. It's time to celebrate being called into action, because we are a workforce in the world and we are called to make a difference in the world. And it's a time to celebrate that God continues to stoop down to us in Jesus. And when Jesus puts his arms around us, the body of Christ, Jesus hears our heart beating strong. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you.